Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. I'm Eugene Godso. I'm the new director of growth here at Bowery. And this week we are lucky to be joined by Melanie Hallenbeck. She's the chief growth officer at Elevate Inc. and has just an amazing array of experience and learnings to share from companies like ADP, WageWorks, Benefit Express, and a couple of others. So this week, we're going to focus on a few things. One, selling into enterprise as an early stage startup before you have that customer list and that credibility. Second, how to navigate procurement and other departments that might be outside of your champion scope that you're not working with day to day. And then third, how has COVID changed the recruiting landscape, as well as how to build that team winning mentality and culture where I think we can all agree it's more important than ever, but it's also tougher than ever. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Melanie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're super stoked to have you.
I'm super stoked to be here.
Let's dive right in.
Okay.
Would you mind telling us a bit about your background?
Absolutely. My background actually started in the call center at ADP. And I quickly kind of realized that I wanted to do something else. So I went to implementation, went to service, and then I became a solution architect working with the sales team. And I was like, wait a minute, these guys get fancy trips and lots of commission. I want that. I had a great opportunity through a couple of mentors there to try sales, which a lot of people don't get an opportunity to do. Completely loved it, was really successful at ADP, and kind of took my career from there. I went to a small third-party administrator, ran their sales division and service, and then I went to WageWorks in 2007 with the dream of going public. And I think my husband and I had many conversations where he said, you know, this is never happening, right? Like up to the point where I flew into New York from a meeting I had in Texas and had my dress ready to go public. And midnight, I got a text, we're not doing it. The market's not good. We're not going to go today. And in the car back home. And again, my husband was like, it's never happening. And I was like, it is happening. We are going to do this. 2012, I got to go to the New York Stock Exchange where the C-suite rang the bell. And 5 years later, I got to be in the box ringing the closing bell. So crazy time. It was a crazy time. It was awesome. And then I became the chief growth officer at Benefit Express when Health Equity bought WageWorks. I decided not to stay. And then WEX bought Benefit Express, and I decided to take on a new adventure with Elevate. And here I am.
There you go. I love it. Before you tell us about Elevate, what was the thing that first caught your love about sales? It sounds like you were trying some different things, trying to find your fit, and then sales caught your eye. What was it?
You know, I love the path I took to get there because I serviced clients, I implemented clients, I got to learn about them. And what I loved about sales was finding the solution. I think I'm a very solution-oriented salesperson, and I love meeting people, I love learning about what they need, and then I love giving them what they're actually looking for. And of course, you know, sales is great when you're selling, right?
The world is right when you're selling.
Oh, it is so right when you're selling.
Yeah.
And my kids used to remember when I was commission check time, you know, we always used to go shopping, and that was like their favorite time of the month. So it's just what I think I was born to do.
Yep. I love that. Well, tell us what's got you so excited about Elevate. What is Elevate Inc. And what do you do?
Yes. We keep referring to ourselves as WageWorks 2.0. I'm not really sure what to do with that. But, you know, the thing that excites me the most is everything that I loved about WageWorks when I started. We were very few people. We had a great technology. We had a great story. We had great backers. And here we are, right, 20 years later with an amazing team. You know, we don't even want to call ourselves a startup because we're all old and we've all done it before, right?
Yep.
And we just are taking the technology to the next level where no one has taken it and no one was able to take it because it was too expensive to actually modify this old platform to do the things that people want today, right? So just think of a reimbursement. You know, WageWorks was doing check reimbursements. Elevate's doing Zelle, PayPal and Venmo reimbursements. That's right. What the world wants today. The CDH platforms just are not up to date. So I'm excited about the team. I'm excited about our investors. I'm excited about what we can give to the world. And I'm really excited about partnerships. I spent the last 9 years of my time at WageWorks running partnerships, and the partners are begging for a solution that technologically is advanced, that has APIs instead of 800 files going back and forth, and the need to hire so many more people to utilize a system that they're paying to outsource. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem to make sense. So yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think that leads us into our first topic I want to jump into. At Elevate Inc., you have an amazing team with a great background and amazing technology, but I'm sure selling that as a solution versus, you know, when you're at WageWorks and it's a public company and there's thousands of employees and there's this all this street credibility and market credibility. Would you mind talking to me about how you think about that difference in selling style when you're a very early stage startup versus a more established player in the market?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think it's so funny. I still remember my ADP elevator pitch. You know, we're like, we're AAA bond rated by Standard Poor's and Moody's. I was so young, I didn't even know who Standard Poor's and Moody's was. And I was like saying it, right? But it was this instant credibility, double digit earnings per share growth. You know, it was ADP. It was like IBM. And then I went to WageWorks, and at the time we were a startup. We were not public, and we definitely had to sell ourselves, and we sold ourselves through technology. Here, it's definitely different, but I will say that the adoption and the interest has been really overwhelming. Hmm. People have reached out to us, very large carriers, employers, with such an interest because it has been, this area just has not, there's been no fulfillment of this product set, of what people are really looking for. But I think you have to, I'm leading with technology, I think, with this sale because, and this sounds really corny, but it sells itself. Mm. And it really does. I mean, once people see how the platform was built, and how easy and flexible it is with the additional automation through APIs. The conversation, we kind of laugh. We think we have it down to 17 minutes now of, you know, this is a solution where you demo first and you talk about it later.
Interesting. So is it fair to say when you're at a company like WageWorks, you can kind of lean on what people already know about it and it's a trusted name and maybe you're not showing a bunch of things they haven't seen before, they kind of know what they're getting. And then when you join a company like Elevate Inc. that has such a unique value prop or something that they haven't seen before that they want, you can kind of lean in with that and that sparks their interest and gets the conversation accelerated.
That's exactly it. I mean, I think at a point at WageWorks when we knew the technology was kind of diminishing as we weren't the best of breed, we weren't leading edge anymore, we led with the customer slide. So you start to see the customer side and you're like, oh, that's amazing, right? So look at the shiny object, don't look at the technology, right? I think here we're definitely leading with, and I think, you know, we were surprised. I think we thought the API conversation or adoption or excitement would come later on. It would be something that people would get excited about probably later.
Yeah.
The payment options, the one card solution, some of the other things that we're doing technologically, we thought was really where we were going to lead and see the people responding. And now we're leading with the, you know, APIs, and we're like, okay, we have to change the story a little bit, right? So here are our five differentiators. Mm. We lead with, here's the technology solution you've been looking for. Here's what your IT team is going to be looking for. And let's just show you the software.
Yeah, yeah. And it may be almost misleading. Once you start getting your first big customers, you can say, oh, now we want to lead with our customer slide. But if you're competing against people where their customer slide is their strongest attribute, why would you compete against that? You need to catch customers' interest somewhere else versus, oh, we have one name you've heard of.
Exactly. And you know, it'll get there, right? People will ask for references. I'm not silly enough to think that that's not going to be the case. Yeah. But I think that's why we really have never called ourselves a startup. We just called ourselves a new company because I added in the car on the way here, 100 years of experience, and I'm probably being conservative, just in the C-suite alone. And that is not even taking into consideration our product team and our card ops team, which, you know, adds many, many more years. But it's all of those experiences. There's not a plan we've not seen. There's not a setup we've not done. There's not a customer we've not serviced collectively, right? So, and again, the technology was built by someone that built the technology for one of the leading companies 20 years ago, just better.
Got it. So you've got a product that's differentiated and there's product market fit. You've got a team that has industry experience and can talk the talk. You're selling into HR mostly, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
And then I'm sure there are some parts of the sales process where HR is really excited, but maybe they have to go get procurement involved mm-hmm. or somebody that might not get it or might not trust you as much. Is that fair to say?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think for us also, the ROI is going to be something that will draw the attention of the procurement people for sure. Because as I mentioned, many of the solutions do require you, even though you're outsourcing, no one can see my air quotes in a podcast.
it was a really good air quotes.
Was it? Good. You know, even though you're outsourcing, you're still having so many people internally need to service, right? I think from a partner perspective, you're still going to need somebody to help the partners. You still need someone on your side to process the claims. You need someone to do the files. When you start to eliminate that and can actually show in an ROI tool what these people can expect to get or to lose on their side, it's the model from a pricing perspective is so astonishing. I had a CFO of one of the partners that were a prospective partner say, why aren't we moving all of our business tomorrow? Like what? This is crazy. This financial model is crazy. And that didn't even take into consideration the technological advance that his sales team is going to get to sell to the new customers, right? We didn't even go there yet.
Got it. So I'm sure HR is very excited about the ROI as well, but you got to find a way to speak procurement's language, which in this case, if you can showcase an ROI and make it believable and almost arm your champion in the HR department, that just makes it a lot easier to not just get through, but even procurement gets excited. It's
absolutely
like. Okay.
Yep.
So, speaking the buyer's language.
Yes.
Are you often able to get in that meeting with procurement, or is there like an ROI analysis that you're kind of working with your champion in HR on, or?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends, I think, on the organization. I think a lot of some organizations are very procurement driven. It is the way that they hire a new vendor or, you know, run an RFP process. I think the current clients or prospects that we're working with, I think it was really HR driven or operation driven decision. And, you know, this is generally a replacement of an existing vendor, not a new vendor, so that you don't have to get a budget necessarily for this particular project. You're just using budget you already have.
Got it. I wanted to ask about how the landscape of building a sales team, especially at an early stage company, has changed over the last, I don't know, it's been about a year and a half through COVID, and I'm sure the way you think about it as a leader and how you build your team is different.
Yeah, so about a year and a half ago, I built my very first sales team, arguably one of the industry's best, all through COVID, and did not meet the majority of my team until a year and a half later.
Wow.
So definitely a different way of shift in communication, a shift in hiring, you know, and then when I came here, I think I was immediately kind of like, oh, how do I build like the team we had at WageWorks, right? And then I had to kind of put my brakes on and say, that might not be it, right? I really think now we're kind of, and I'm glad it took me a few months to be in the role, selling myself to really kind of, that's kind of what I do. I sell myself to figure out what is needed. What's the personality type? What experience do you need to have? And I think you have to be careful as a startup when you're hiring a sales team, not to immediately hire people from a specific industry or enterprise sales team members when, you know, all of a sudden we're selling more to third-party administrators and potential partners and carriers. Is there a different type of person, different type of seller that is a better fit? And I think the true answer is going to be, I don't have a crystal ball, but certainly if I did, and I put, you know, a note in the bottle and threw it in the ocean, I would say that we're going to have a combination. I think we'll have a combination of someone that managed third-party administrators. I think we'll have someone that worked at a carrier, but had employer clients. I think we'll have an amazing enterprise sales team because I think our go-to-market strategy is multifaceted. So I don't want to eliminate anything at this point.
Got it. So I would consider those a lot of the tangible things you can look for as far as what people have done.
Yeah.
Are there any type of intangible assets, so personality traits that you look for when you're interviewing that get you really excited that this person's going to be a great fit, or maybe they're not cut out for early stage life?
Yeah, that's actually a great question and something that I've had to learn here because you have to do everything,
yeah,
right? You really... And I think for some people, I just remember being locked in a room at WageWorks, and it was right here in Manhattan, and we didn't like the sales deck, right? We're new. There's like three of us, and you know, we're sitting in a room, and for 2 days we worked on what probably now would be atrocious PowerPoint with Fisher-Price people. But really, it was how do you, you know, what's a value prop, right? So we didn't have a marketing team. We're going to do that. We didn't have a, you know, whatever the next thing was that we needed to do, a team to do it. So we did that. The beauty of a startup in 2021 is there are a million companies that, you know, from a technology perspective, from a marketing perspective, just plug in to your solution. The people, I think, back to your actual question, you know, you have to be flexible. You have to be, we are so fast paced. Like, I just don't know where a day goes. You know, and I yep. I don't, and you have to be self-sufficient, but I think the teams that I build also are more of a family. So I think sales is traditionally just kind of, you're on an island, do your thing, make your number, take care of your family. Right. And I don't really operate that way. I think we have to work together because there's everyone brings something different to the team. And I love hearing everyone's ideas, but I think so do everyone else on the team. You know, my best day as a sales leader was when I heard that the sales team, after the sales call that I led, had a little, you know, coffee talk call set up where they would just go over what's everybody doing in their territory, like what's working, or what do you think about this idea, right? Yeah. So the think tank. So I hope to replicate that someday.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that, because what I've heard in talking to folks either at Elevate or before is that you're really great at building a team winning mentality, which, as you said once upon a time, like you didn't really need that, and I almost think with COVID you got to double down on that, right? Because people need to feel connected. It's a really hard job if you're working out of your home office or bedroom, and you know, in sales you're getting told no most of the time.
Yeah.
So what are some things you either did or saw at Benefit Express and now you're trying to do at Elevate Inc. that are most important to build that team winning mentality?
You know, it's funny. We did kind of lunch with Melanie. You know, we started it during COVID and I was like, let's just not talk about work. Want to bring your kid, bring your dog, bring your cat, you know, to lunch. I'll buy lunch, you know, get a DoorDash to you or Uber, whatever, Eats, whatever you want to do. But let's just get to know each other. And I think, you know, I had one person on my team who lived alone. Right. So COVID was a really hard time to live alone, especially in the winter months. And then we did things where, you know, one of the team members would go somewhere else and like take us on a field trip, you know, of that area. And we just laughed and did so many things. Or again, like a campaign that we were running, you know, you can't ship something to someone's home or a home office anymore. You have to ship it to their home or find an address, you know. So we tried to do fun things like that. Or I would ship them, you know, our CEO at Benefit Express shipped gear, you know, pick your gear online. And so everyone had, you know, t-shirts on that matched. And it was just little things where I think you bring the team together and you're just not always talking about work really was helpful. And yesterday, you know, I had a team call and I just said, let's forget the agenda. Let's just talk about what's going on in your life and, you know, ultimately how you're feeling. Because like I said, it's a very fast paced environment and I'm asking people to do a lot of things that would not be in their job description. And you have to be the right person to do that. And you have to be the person that says, what else can I do?
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting because I feel like one of the hardest parts of being at an early stage company is there's so much you have to do and you have to do it so fast. And every day and every week and every month is so important. But what I'm hearing is it's really important to slow down and either get to know your team or be checking in on your team or develop what I call intimacy with your team.
Yes.
Is that something you think you've naturally always had as a leader, or that's something you just saw and wanted to work on and develop?
No, I think it probably is the one thing that I brought with me into leadership. I think, you know, I kind of looked at, I'll never forget this leader that I had, give a shout out to Sassy, at ADP. And I was going through a tough time. I was a single mom, you know, and I just remember her calling me one day and just saying like, how are you? And I was terrible that day.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Yeah.
She had no idea. I was in Connecticut. She was in New Jersey, you know. And I was like, you know, was this a trick question, right? Because, you know, there were not a lot of women in sales. There certainly were, you know, not a lot of single moms in sales at that point in time. And I just remember like, oh my God, like that was I'll never forget that phone call. And it meant nothing to her, but that was how she led. And I think I always took away, be a human, right? If you hire a good team of people, they will make their number because they have that fire in their belly to succeed. They know how many calls they need to make. They know how many meetings they need to have. They know what their number is. They've divided it by 52. They've divided it by 7. They've done the math. I will never have a team where I have to say, how many calls did you make today? And how many meetings did you have? Because that's the wrong person for my team, but that person should already have all of that in their head.
Nani, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was super fun.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Yeah. If anybody wants to reach out to Melanie, where can they get in touch with you? What's the easiest way?
Melanie at elevate.inc. M-E-L-A-N-I-E at elevate, E-L-E-V-A-T-E dot inc.
Love it. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show. If you like this episode and you want to hear more, please subscribe to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And we'll see you soon.